Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maynes. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we're talking to pastors about a variety of subjects, including how to create effective, life-transforming sermons. So, David, does a minister ever really know if his or her preaching is effective? That's our discussion this visit. Do you ever ask people how they felt you were doing as a preacher?
I ask people all the time. It's just a part of who I am, and I encourage them to be honest. I just finished a book. I've written a number of books. My wife, I don't think of myself as a writer because Karen has written way more books than I have. I think between us we've written like 35 books, and we've sold about 1.5 million copies, which I say very proudly, but most of those are Karen's books. Her books sell like everything. Mine are good door jams after a while, you know. What am I going to do with all these copies? Well, it'll hold the door open. Anyway, I solicit help from people, and I want to read a letter to you, Dean. I got this it's a month ago now, and some people would be horrified by such a letter. It's one of the best letters I've ever gotten. I sent the new manuscript I had finished. It was on the book of Revelation, and I sent it to 14 close friends, and I said, I would like for you to evaluate and tell me your response to this. And I'm not feeling real good about it in some ways, so I want you to be honest. Okay, here's a letter I got from a pastor. I've known him for a long time. He says, thank you so much for your trust in sending me a copy of your manuscript on Revelation. It must have been one of your weak moments when you included my name among those from whom you wanted some input. Be absolutely clear about this. I would far sooner do this kind of evaluation for a total stranger than for a dear friend, a very dear friend like you. Anyway, here goes. Of all the books you have written, and I have read most of them, this was the least appealing, noteworthy, helpful, or effective in accomplishing its stated intent, and so on. And he goes on to say, I'm not sure how many Christians would come away from reading your book with an understanding of the message of Revelation. A good title or feeling that I would have is greater as he than he in you than he that is in the world. My thoughts on the possible impact of this, total confusion as to what it all means. Fear of the awful bad things that are to come, hopelessness about the future, and he goes on. But now he finishes his evaluation and he says, as you can see, I've been very negative in my, I could see that, very negative in my assessment of your manuscript. Please remember that these are only my thoughts, and they are probably worth more, they're probably worth what you are paying for them, absolutely nothing. Do remember that I hold you in the highest esteem and respect, and I love you deeply. I count your friendship to be of inestimable value. I hope and pray that my negative thoughts in no way negatively affect our loving and deep friendship, yours in Christ. And then he signs his name. I haven't read all the letter, but some people would see that as that dirty bum. You know, he really doesn't understand what a good writer I am. Well, the truth is, I was struggling with that book. And part of what he wrote in terms of specifics, I didn't read because it's more confusing not knowing the book. He did me a huge favor. In fact, I changed the title of the book. I totally rewrote the book. I have sent it out to some other people, and I've gotten very good reviews. Actually, what he wrote to me was consistent with what some other people wrote to me. But I would have submitted that to a publisher if I'd gotten all, you know, you are such a wonderful writer. Nobody's a better writer than you are, and I am so honored that you asked me to read this and so on. Basically, I asked him to do a very difficult job. I didn't set it up by saying, I think it's a stinky book. But I set it up saying, I want your opinion. And he gave me his opinion. And his opinion caused me a lot of sweat and a lot of time of reworking. But the specific suggestions he gave were incredibly helpful. So do I do that? Yes, I do that all the time. Does Karen do that with her books? I mean, it's not the reason mine don't sell and hers do, because she doesn't ask for anybody's opinion. She just writes them. No, she asks them all the time. In fact, that's what the whole editing process is about. When you go to a writer or to a publishing company and submit what you have written, they put it by editors and they change things around, and it's very painful until you get used to it. And maybe that's where I am. I'm a long way down the road in terms of age, and I just have kind of gotten used to this, and I see it as a good thing. So, and I did that all along in terms of being a pastor. I would say to people, I want to know what you're thinking. And did I say something that was helpful, or was it a lot of words that didn't really help? That's the only way you come up with a product that is a good product. So I'm very used to it. I'm hardened to it. I doubt whether very many pastors have gotten a letter like I got in terms of that book. I wrote the guy back immediately. In fact, the very day I got the letter, I said, "You are a dear friend. I apologize for asking you to do a very hard thing, but you have told me exactly what I wanted to know. You will always be a friend," you know, and so on. Because that's, we were helping each other in that regard.
Yeah, that's an important example for us to hear, because what you're illustrating to me is, first of all, you're secure enough in who God has allowed you to become through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that you're willing to make yourself vulnerable and accessible to other people. And in that vulnerability and that accessibility, you're open to receiving feedback. So how does a pastor go about getting this kind of feedback? How do you do it?
Well, I'm not a pastor anymore. I haven't been for a long time, ever since I went into radio and then into television, which took up a huge part of my adult life. Although that's interesting, because when you're in the media, you get feedback. And if you don't get feedback, you're dead. You know, you want letters to come. And as you solicit those letters, people tell you exactly what they think. And the truth is, probably most ministers, if they're like I am, they read the critical ones more carefully than they read the praise, because you get an awful lot of praise. There are a lot of people who say, you know, that was very helpful, changed my life, let me tell you how, and so on. And you're very glad for that. But the ones who say something critical, you tend to listen to those more. At least I do. I mean, some guys may take all the critical letters and burn them. I don't know. But I find those very helpful. In fact, some of them are irritating. I had one guy who kept writing me about my grammar, and I would misuse pronouns and so on. You know, I think I speak weller than most people.
Weller indeed.
But he got under my nerves after a while, because he never heard what I said. He just heard my mistakes. So I finally wrote to the guy, and, you know, I could have written him a real stinger, but I wrote and I said, "You are a valuable resource, and I want to appoint you as my official broadcast grammar checker." So I said, "And if you would, every time you hear something wrong, tell me, I will promise to take your letters seriously and do my very best not to make those mistakes again." And by golly, I got more letters than you can imagine, but that was better than a college course. And there are a lot of things I don't say anymore. I can't even think of all the mistakes I made, you know, in terms of, I would say the person that instead of the person who, you know, those kind of things. And it was relentless. I mean, the guy took his role very seriously, but he made me a better person. And I'm glad for that individual. So, and I did that as a pastor. I would say, I'm interested in your feedback. We've finished this series. It's taken, you know, 6 Sundays of your time. Please tell me in a concise form what your thoughts are and how this is going to affect your life. And then I would put that form in the bulletin. In today's world, I think it would be a very easy thing for people to ask for that just by way of email or whatever. It's people, they don't have to write the letter. They don't have to type it out. They just, you know, email it. And a lot of times people with email, they got spell check, but they don't even reread them because they got mistakes on them. And I can see. But getting that feedback is extremely helpful. I got it, Dean, and I got it in church. This was a long time ago. I mean, before the broadcast, I'm going back decades now. But every Sunday I would preach. The morning service was 9:30, and then we'd have a half-hour break, and then we would have classes. And always one of the classes was the pastor's class. And I would sit with the people, and I would say, "Tell me what you thought in terms of what I preached." And they were incredibly helpful to me. And if it was a series, I could make corrections as time went along. A lot of times they would say, "You used these terms that I didn't understand them," because we had all kinds of non-Christians coming. We were across the expressway in Chicago from the largest medical center in the world. We had a lot of foreign students who would come. They'd heard about the church, and they would come. They had no biblical background at all, and they say, "You know, I didn't under." And then I would realize, again, I'm further down the road and assuming too much, and I need to back up and be more careful in explaining everything. But I wouldn't have known that if they hadn't told me.
The feedback was obviously very valuable. Mm-hmm. Did anybody ever say, "Wow, that was the most terrible sermon I ever heard"?
You want me to read that letter to you?
Well, that was about a book. How about a sermon?
I don't think they said it in that directly, but you did get very direct comments, especially from that young age group. One of the transforming times in my life was in that pastor's class. There were a lot of times I found that they were not Christians. You could tell by the way they talked, and we would actually invite them for lunch. I would say, you know, some of you are new visitors today, and my wife has prepared lunch, and we don't know who's coming, and you're invited. We want to come. And I would actually pursue the conversation with them as far as becoming a Christian. In fact, one time at those lunch, I led three people to the Lord. I mean, that's a lot of people at one time. And there was a fourth one who was not a believer, and he was very close. In fact, his wife said he hasn't become a Christian yet, but the birth pangs are pretty close together now. And later, Mike, he was a lawyer. He became a believer as well. But one of the times I remember, I would always start the class by saying, why don't you put into a sentence what do you think it was I was trying to say? And then I would go around the group, and anyone who wanted to would contribute. And one time I had preached on the middle part of Romans, which is a tough section in there, and I didn't do very well. And I started the class by saying, it's one of those Sundays where you feel like, I know I didn't do well. I said, why don't you put into a sentence what it is you think I was trying to say? And they went around, and we finally got to one guy. His name was Rich. I'll never forget him because he changed my life. He said, Pastor, why don't you try to put into a sentence what it is you were trying to say? And from that time on, I always had the subject and the response. I would put it into a sentence. I'm always ready for people. In fact, even as we do this podcast, I know exactly what it is I'm trying to say. Ask listeners for feedback, and you can quickly know if your preaching is meeting a need. That's what I'm trying to say. Solicit that feedback. So I've been ready ever since, and if Rich is ever in one of those times when we meet and talk about one of my sermons, I'm ready for him. I can put it into a sentence.